not man, what is man, when would each marmon,
yep.
When would each men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Good morning, listeners. This is Mudich Mag here with Nick Abraham at RTR FM 92.1 and also extending out to Noongar Radio 100.9 and also the Great Southern Radio. Jody, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. Long time no see. How are you?
Yes. It's a beautiful day out there and I'm feeling the sunshine, so it's great. It's great.
We haven't been in the studio together for a long, long time, so it's nice to see. I know you've been busy at work, studies and life.
True, all of the above. Yeah, and it never sort of slows down, but it's great to be back in. It's great to see you again, because I gather you would have been in the same sort of boat as well.
Yeah. Life gets busy, doesn't it? But this is an hour where you can just come and breathe, relax. Radiothon was on a couple of weeks ago here on the station.
Yes.
And it always achieves a fantastic result and outcome through the community in Perth, tuning into RTR FM. And it's awesome to be part of the Mudich Mag program. It's an important program. Been on for a few years now, Nick, eh?
It has been for a few years. I can never tell you the exact date. I know that when Jim and Wayne started it, they had it going from way back then, and then Wayne was going away, so they sort of roped me in for a visit, and that visit sort of stayed permanent. It's a bit like family sometimes when you bring them for a visit and they stay, so I'm still here.
Oh yeah, I've had that. We're going to have some great music this hour.
Yes.
And we're going to throw into the mix From Little Things, Big Things Grow, because
yes.
Yesterday was the date from 1966. That the Wave Hill walk-off happened.
Wow.
Yeah, 1966. So I think it's only fitting that we play that song as well.
Yes.
It was a massive thing, the sand through the hands. Do you remember the image?
I remember the image, yes. Sand through the hands and giving country back to the local people up there and stuff. And, so it's been great to see how far we've come.
Yeah.
And how far we got to go.
We got a referendum coming up in a couple of months as well. Well,
that's another story too. We can perhaps have a little bit of a yarn about that as well.
Yeah. So to kick off, we got Jada behind the desk today, and we'll kick off with From Little Things.
Yeah, Love and Caring, Ripple Effect Band.
Okay, Love and Caring first, and From Little Things, Big Things Grow, a little later in the show. What a beautiful way to start off Mudich Mag for this week. Jody and Nick in the studio with you for the next hour. Thanks for tuning in. And that was the Ripple Effect Band with Loving and Caring. And they're an all-women's band coming from Maningrida in the beautiful West Arnhem Land part of the country. And following in the tradition of saltwater rock from the top end, they're forging a new sound as the first women from their community to make their own band. What a beautiful song from them.
Oh, Jody, that was magic. That was magic. It sort of sits into our tone of a nice, relaxing day today, isn't it?
Oh, I would like to be able to sing like that.
Oh, I would.
I sing in the shower when nobody's home.
When no one can hear, but you sound deadly.
Yeah, because it's good acoustics.
Yes, but then when you either record it or something, you think, gee, did I really sound that bad?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Nick, at the top of the show, we were talking about the Wave Hill walk-off. For people who aren't aware of it, on the 23rd of August, so yesterday's date, back in 1966, 200 Gurindji stockmen, domestic workers and their families initiated strike action at Wave Hill Station in the Northern Territory. And negotiations with the station owners, the international food company Vesti Brothers, broke down and led to a seven-year dispute. And that eventually led to the return of a portion of their homelands to the Gurindji people in 1974 and the passing of the first legislation that allowed for First Nations peoples to claim land title if they could prove a traditional relationship to the country. So it was a massive event. Took that long, but a great outcome. And I remember the image of Gough Whitlam with Vincent Lignari and the sand falling through the hands.
So the walk-off was in 1966.
66.
And it took until 1974 to get some sort
correct.
Of... Correct. Sort of... what would you say, some sort of agreement or something around that for land rights and the like for the people?
Yeah. Mm.
And that started probably many of opportunities for people to learn on that and to work from that to try and claim back land.
Yeah. And, you know, this dispossession, you know, it happened everywhere. Mm-hmm. Dispossession of land, and the Gurindji mob had lived on their homelands in what is now the Victoria River area of the Northern Territory for tens of thousands of years. And then in 1883, the colonial government granted almost 3,000 square kilometres of their country to the explorer and pastoralist Nathaniel Buchanan. And the Gurindji would have had no appreciation that someone from outside of their community owned, and I say owned, part of their country. Dispossession, just rolls off the tongue so easily as a First Nations person, doesn't it?
It just sounds so simplistic in terms of how someone can come from another country and stuff there to be given land. Now, I'm not too sure whether there was any fee paid for that land, but just to ignore that 60-plus thousand years of connections and ownership of that land to all of a sudden you say, OK, now we're going to... not going to recognise your ownership anymore. We're going to give it to somebody else for an economic opportunity or whatever.
Terra nullius.
Yes, and it's, you know, every time we say a word or something like that, it sort of brings... got to bite your tongue.
Stolen wealth.
Well, you know, yes, there's a lot of things we can talk about in that sense, but, you know, it's trying to understand the differences between our connections to country and our values to country as opposed to the Western society of an economic
and
perspective.
We are going to listen to From Little Things, Big Things Grow shortly, but when you talk about dispossession, land, country, culture, language, I know that from interviews I did some years ago with some Aboriginal veterans who'd gone off in all theatres of war, when Australians left Australian soil and went off for whatever war, they came back and were gifted parcels of land.
They were recognised, yes.
Unless you were Aboriginal. You didn't get that.
So what did the Aboriginals get then?
They came back. Some of their kids had been taken. They didn't get anything.
Okay.
But they felt part of the country while they were on international soil.
Yes.
It was only when they returned that they realised that it was the us and them. Couldn't go in to have a drink with their colleagues, couldn't do a whole lot of things that their white counterparts could.
I wonder how a lot of Australians, when they hear this, how would they feel about that? And how would they feel if they put the boot on the other foot?
Mm.
And it's interesting that, you know, we've had a few little things happen in the last couple of months only here in Yungar country and even the Western Australia and that stuff that was very divisive for our community and even the other side of the community. And, you know, it just makes us wonder.
Mm. The song we're about to hear was penned by the amazing Kev Carmody. Yeah, he's a Murray from Queensland. And it was penned by him and Paul Kelly. And Kev Carmody is just a living legend. He's extraordinary. You know, throws his guitar over his shoulder. I even think from memory that he got through some of his university studies by not writing the essays, but by singing the answers. And he's just a modern-day troubadour. He's extraordinary, and he's a lovely bloke, and penned this song. There's been a lot of different versions of it over the years. Yes. The Waifs from here in Western Australia have covered it. There's versions that feature Paul Kelly, obviously, Kev Carmody, obviously, but with beautiful backing vocals by The Titters, who is a three-piece women's group from over east. So lots of different versions, but telling the story of the great Vincent Lignari and the wave he'll walk off. Let's have a listen. Ah, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Great musos on that track, and nice long song, and, you know, we didn't stop talking all the way through it, but at least we've heard the song before and we know the meaning behind
it. But it told a story. It told a long story, but also from where we are today. And if you look at 1966 when this first happened, but 1975 when they had some sort of, 74 when they've had some sort of outcome, which is about 8 years later. But also what happened in Australia in 1966 was the Australian currency was decimalised in February of 1996. And that was interesting there because out went the shillings and pence and in came the dollars and cents. And I remember that back then because I was going to school and I remember the first day I got a 2-cent coin and I couldn't make out it took me a while to work out between the value of that and a penny or a threepence and type stuff. And I'm still trying to work out that
in
stuff.
In the years when you could still have some money in your Christmas pudding.
Yes.
But those 60s years were full of advocacy and activism and people taking to the streets in the name of injustice. It was a powerful time across the world then.
Well, it was, because in 1967 was a referendum to include Aboriginal people.
Well, it was good of them, wasn't it?
In the census, yeah.
Good of them. Flora and fauna, and then people.
Yes. And it's interesting with that. Some people will argue the pros and cons of whether we are still flora and fauna. And I don't understand the full legal ramifications of that or the arguments around that stuff there, but some people will still say that, you know, well, we're still flora and fauna because we haven't been recognised in our own country. Interesting.
Never a lack of things to talk about, but we are heading towards the first referendum in 24 years. Looks like the likely date is going to be the 14th of October, with Prime Minister Albanese making the announcement in Adelaide. Look, there's so much misinformation and scaremongering and racist views coming to the top with people who are against the yes vote. I don't know why it needs to be as complicated as it is. And I know that the Australian Human Rights Commission released a special educational resource kit this week that provides an insight into understanding the referendum from a human rights perspective. So I would encourage anyone, if you want to know more about the truth behind the yes vote and what it will mean to have a voice to Parliament, just Google Australian Human Rights Commission. On the front page of their website, you'll see links to this educational resource kit. It is full of factual information and gives you the information about why the yes vote is so important from a human rights and all other perspectives as well. So, yeah, jump onto the website of the Australian Human Rights Commission. And it was only released this week. And Rosalind Croucher is the president of the Human mm-hmm. Rights Commission, and she spoke out about it, but also hoping here on the Mortich Mag program to talk about that and the yes vote and the rights of our First Nations people with June Oscar in the coming weeks here on the Mortich Mag program. For those who aren't aware, June is the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner of the Australian Human Rights Commission. So we'll definitely be trying to touch base with June in a program in the near future.
Yes, and I was reading a little bit this morning about some of the pros and cons of the various campaigns out there for the yes and the no, and Jim always tries to get me to, you know, to advertise what I'm going to vote for. That's my private processes, but I'm going to try and advocate for what I see as a benefit for the broader community, but they have their responsibility of voting, but they also have responsibility of understanding what it's about. And it really sort of I cringe a little bit when I hear people at the highest office in this country can come out with a slogan and say, if you don't know, vote no. Mm-hmm. And that sort of underpins their integrity, because they are politicians and they have endorsed this type of process when they were in Parliament in power back in the yonder. But then they come out now when they're in opposition and to just use that simple little slogan, if you don't know, vote no. And
It's a little simplistic and a little arrogant in, you know, if you don't know, find out.
That's,
you know, find out. Do your research. You do it in other areas. Why not do it with this?
That's it, huh? Yeah, if you ever want to do something, even if you buy a new car or even a home or whatever
your
stuff,
research.
You do the research.
Yeah. The Australian Electoral Commission has confirmed that ticking the box. My screen has just gone blank. But the updated information about ticking the box. Hang on. No. Where are we? God, you can tell I wasn't doing that one live, can't you? We'll start again. The Australian Electoral Commission has confirmed ticking the box on the referendum ballot paper rather than writing yes could count as a yes vote, but crosses will not be counted. If you're curious to learn what would happen if you voted yes or no, you can go online and search your official yes, no referendum pamphlet. I got a referendum thing in the letterbox today.
Okay.
So, yeah, and the pamphlet's going to show you the reasons you should vote yes or no and the benefits of each.
Yes, and it's interesting with that ticking the box, whether that's counted as a yes or a cross as a no, and how that could be interpreted. From my understanding, and I haven't looked too much into this, but when I'm answering a question, and the question is a yes or no, you have to write it in, from my understanding, and how this is interpreted as a tick is a yes, and a cross is could be a yes, sometimes doesn't make sense to me. So I'd like to find out a bit more about the real understanding of that there, because from a bureaucratic process, they can't sort of do this, and I'd call it, well, not another name, airy-fairy stuff.
Yeah, well, perhaps closer to the date. I mean, we're still a couple of months out, but perhaps we could have a yarn with the Electoral Commission to just put it in plain, simple terms, what it means, why it happens that way. You know, power is knowledge. Knowledge is power, hey?
Well, that's it, yeah. And if you think about that, any time we fill in a government form or any type of even insurance forms and stuff, you have to answer the question in writing. So it'll be interesting to see how that voting slip comes out.
Now, I've got to tell people, they don't just have to listen to us for this hour, Nick, because we've got a young fella coming on the program shortly.
Yes.
By the name of Zach James, local muso.
A local musician, yes.
And he's released a new track. So we're not going to speak to him just yet, but before too long here on the program today, we'll be having a yarn with Zach and finding out about his music and featuring his new song today here on the Mudditch Mag program. That's exciting.
That sounds Mudditch.
But first, let's have a listen to this song. This is Izzy and Close the Door.
Well, welcome back to Mudditch Mag here with Jodie and Nick, and Jim's away on an assignment this week, so hopefully he'll bring some good news back for us next week.
And he's a busy boy, isn't he?
He is.
They need to clone Jim Morrison.
Well, does the world need a clone of Jim Morrison?
Well, it would be a challenging clone to be, wouldn't it? But, you know, he was busy before he was named the NAIDOC Perth Elder of the Year.
That's right, yes.
Busy before that, and it's just ramped up now. He's speaking to hundreds of school kids in one go, heading out to country areas. He's in demand.
He's in demand.
You know, your phone calls with Jim go for about 3 seconds because he's from one event to the next. Just so busy.
That's right, yes. So, who have we got on? We've got Zach on the line there. How are you going, Zach?
Yeah, Kaya, I'm Mudditch. Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
yeah.
Zach. You got Nick Abraham here and Jodie Hoffman's as my co-host here today.
Kaya, Zach James. Welcome to Mudditch Mag. How are you?
Yeah, good. Doing Mudditch, yeah. Just sitting in my car.
Oh, lovely. Okay, well, just introduce you to our audience here. I think this may be the first time you've been on Mudditch Mag, I would believe. So, Zach, just let our listeners know who's your mob and where you're from.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm T.O. Jupine Wongatha from Waluna Leonora Way, but also Yamaji on the Dan side, and also Murray over in Bidra Way as well. So got a good spread.
Good spread, all right, yes. So welcome to Mudditch Mag here on the radios of Noongar Country, and welcome. So,
Zach, I understand that you are a Whopper graduate, the WA Academy of Performing Arts at Edith Cowan in Mount Lawley. Tell us about your interest in the arts.
Yeah, so I graduated with Ian Michaels, Ian Wilkes, all them mob Whopper, 2008, a long time ago. That kind of started me off at the theatre end. I worked at Yarkin for a long time. I was creative director there until mid last year, writing a lot of theatre and all that. Did a couple shows, did a show called 8NNN Aboriginal Radio back in the day, and a show called Shadow Trackers on NITV, and been mostly writing and doing writing workshops for more about everywhere around, you know, Borloo, Perth region, but also out on community, and teaching mob how to write and tell that trauma first to be able to tell the rest of their stories and the yarns I want to tell. And that's spread into music now, and I've always done music but didn't really have that much confidence in my voice or anything. So this last year, I've just been taken off with Mungia, which is my band name, but that's my proper name, which was given to me by my jumble, my pop, as well.
Wow.
That's where I'm at, doing music at the moment, yeah.
Wow. The theatre course out at WAPA has been going for many, many years. How was that to get an introduction into the arts? And you're throwing names around like Mupa in Wilkes, extraordinary talent who's done amazing things as well over the years and, you know, predominantly in dance. But it sounds like it was an incredible, you know, starting place to get your feet wet in that area.
Yeah. If you're an artist, especially if you're a young black artist and you want to start telling stories, you want to do acting, anything like that, I would recommend going to the Aboriginal Theatre Course at WAPA because it has been the one thing that has set me up for my life, essentially, to have confidence in telling yarns, because we're all storytellers, but it helps you do it in a professional way as well. And you're surrounded by mobs, so it's a real safe place to be, and they always keep up to date with the way we're telling stories and keeping each other safe while we're in that process. So, yeah if you young fellas want to do it, do it. Young fellas, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what sets our music aside, and I'm not saying it's different to other music, but there is a real sharing and storytelling nature. You know, we played for, you know, a little while ago, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. It tells the story and the history of this country. And I think contemporary artists like yourself continue to tell those stories through music. It's a great platform, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good because you can be hyper-vulnerable. However, unless you're actually playing it live in front of people, there's like a safety there. So you can be vulnerable, you can share your story. Those really hard stories. Think about Uncle Roach, who passed away last year, one of the biggest storytellers of our entire generation, and how he was able to take everyone on a journey throughout every single song he wrote. And that's just something that is there for everyone. And we have so much of that heart in ourselves and that expression in our stories, and it shows in our music. And that's what sets us apart, I reckon. That's what makes our music so, you know, British.
And it's interesting because it gives us strength as well. If you look at Archie Roach, what an amazing life he held, and what a great contribution. But he could, with the sweetest voice, sing about growing up on the streets in Fitzroy in Victoria, or domestic violence against our women and some of our men. He could talk about being stolen. He could talk about bringing the children home. And he did it in such a gentle, gentle way that you just got carried along with that story as well. But you did feel safe in hearing the stories that well, and you felt a bit comforted by knowing that we were all sharing those stories together.
Yeah, Weeping in the Forest is a song that I will listen to and cry. No, you know, it brings you to tears every time. It's such a beautiful song, but you're right, it's full of emotion, but it's like he's wrapping his arms around you, you know, throughout every of those songs, because even if, like myself, for instance, I wasn't stolen, but, you know, it's in our families, and as a mob, we all feel that, and we share that kind of pain. So we feel that we share the love as well, which I think was something that Uncle did a lot, which is, is incredible and a very massive loss as well.
So, Zach, I think we might listen to your song now. Your song's titled Try.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll listen to that and then come back to you, and then hopefully you can tell us a little bit more about the meaning of the song and that storyline behind it. How does that sound?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, yeah, let's go to the song.
Oh, beautiful song there, Zach.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I don't know why you were ever worried about your voice. It's lovely.
Is
that you on guitar too?
Yeah, no, I did all of it on that song.
You did all of it?
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell us
My full band, I've also got Tao on drums and Ursula on bass, but this one was just myself as a song about... a lot of people, it's about my partner, but a lot of experiences where you're deeply in love, but there's just like a depression there, which is no one's fault. It's just what's there and it's present, and trying to find hope and hanging on to hope and find that light, because it is there and you always reach it, but sometimes it can be really hard to get to that light. And I think that's something everyone experiences to a certain extent, but it's just one of those songs where I knew I had to do it all by myself because it was so deeply personal.
Well, that sounds like a bit of maturity beyond your years there, Zach, in terms of understanding that things about emotions and love and the likes and stuff there, but always searching for hope. And we always question ourselves sometimes when we're going on certain journeys and stuff there, but it sounds lovely.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It's one of my more contemporary songs, that's for sure.
Do you find the writing process easy, and if not, how do you approach it? Do you, you talked about the meaning behind that song. Do you find it's easier to write things that have occurred in your own life?
Yes, definitely. It can be challenging sometimes, though, because you are writing stuff directly linked to your own experiences, and that in a way it brings it up. But I think, because I do a lot of mental health stuff, I think that it is the way that you do it is paying tribute to that and then helping others know that they're not alone in those struggles. Like, everyone experiences it, and we can help each other or at least be there to rest on each other's shoulders every now and again. So I think that's what really helps. Like Guru, for instance, another song which is about post-colonialism and what it's like for us mob now living in this day and age, and it's about us mob who are going through post-colonialism finding each other. No matter what, we find each other and we share that trauma, but we find love, and you know, that's our culture. We have so much strength in our culture and the way we deal with each other and our families and all that. So that comes from my own experience because we are in post-colonialism, but also writing that as a perspective of the characters of all of us, if that makes sense, so not just me.
Well, Zach, have you got anything new coming up in the near future?
Yeah, we've got an EP coming up soon. Should be by end of the year. But actually, my first film I just finished called Malu Man.
Malu Man.
Kangaroo Man. Yeah, it's at Cinefest next week.
Oh, awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you heard it first here on Woodage Mag.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. Tell us about that.
So that's a hard one. So my nephew was Lijah Dowdy.
Oh, sorry.
And so that's all right. So it's a story... not about that, but it's a story about racists, online racists. And there's this fella who dresses up as a superhero called Marley Man.
Yes.
And he kidnaps them and then takes it to his mum's basement. It's actually a comedy.
Oh.
But I've used comedy as the way to talk about this pain and the idea of no justice, and then how people pile on racism on top of that. And that's the story that's been stuck on my mind for it. Actually stopped me from writing anything for a very long time. But it's out of respect for my nephew and for my sister, Trina, as well, and shout out to her. And, you know, that's what the story is about, but it's a comedy. It's a story about hope and finding, you know, yourself in that area, you know?
Oh, Zach, you know, and look, my heart goes out to you and your family. The tragic death of Elijah Doherty a few years back just touched the hearts of the nation, and just such an unnecessary event. And beautiful young boy, and just so sorry for your loss. And it's interesting when you say that, you know, the links to that can also result in the comedy. And I think that comedic part of us as First Nations people is a real coping mechanism sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, true. And because we're cruel funny too. Someone told me once, Tricia Morton Thomas, she told me that if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's so true for so much of our mob. Like, even you think about Sorry Business, you can be in the middle of a funeral or something like that, and you can still sit around with your family and you can still have a laugh about it, because that's what we do, and we share our love and we share our laughter, because we grieve heavy, but we love each other heavy too, you know? So I think that's why we can be light in dark situations.
Yes, that's a very important part of our culture and stuff. There's how, you know, in the light of adversity, we always try to see the silver lining or the light and the humour and the very comedies, or, you know, telling stories of people at funerals or whatever stuff, the good memories that we have of them, and we always keep that going. That's part of our culture of, and, you know, you've captured it quite well, then how you just summed it all up. Magic.
Our guest is Zach James, and just had a listen to his new song a few moments ago called Try, and you'll see his latest offerings at Cinefest next week. But I think, you know, looking at the life of an Aboriginal performer such as yourself, there's so much diversity and so many things you can throw yourself into, but at the end of the day, it's the telling and sharing of those stories that not only, I guess, helps an artist in talking about things that are really special to their own hearts, but it's a helping mechanism for other people as well who perhaps find that they don't know how to communicate that hurt and that pain, and I guess, you know, they gain strength from that work as well. Would you agree?
Kaya, we bring each other up. No matter what, we always bring each other up as much as we can, and sometimes we tell the stories for our family who don't have the capability to, so... And that's what we do, we share that. And we've always done that, you know. Traditionally speaking, there's always been people who are the ones who, you know, told the yarns, share the yarns across song lines and everything. So, and we do that so well. We are the best storytellers and we're the original storytellers, and that's how we keep going, Moorish, and staying strong.
Wow. Okay, Zach, so how do you manage having the music career and the acting career? How do you balance that out? With great fun, by the sounds of it.
With a day job.
There's another one.
Another struggling artist, huh?
Yeah. No. It's like you just get like hyperactive or something like that. Like you're channeling other energy into what you're doing. So like music is okay because you can do it at night time, and writing stuff you can usually do during the day, and filming and that in theatre comes every now and again. So you've got a lot of space to be working on community and helping others at the same time as trying to do it. I'm sure that if you ask my partner, she'd probably say that I'm too busy, but for me, I feel like I've never done enough, you know, and I think most artists are the same.
What advice would you give to some young crew who are, you know, maybe at a, you know, crossroads and thinking, oh, look, you know, I'm doing this at the moment, but I'd much rather be doing this? What advice would you give to diving into to chase your passions?
Money and stability is 30%, and 70% is telling your job, telling your stories and telling your truth. And sticking at that. Like, you need that money for backing, but find something you like doing. Like, you can be counselling, can be community work or something. That's not the main part. If you're an artist, you tell your stories, you stick to your heart. Because you can stop, you can try to stop telling art, but it's going to make its way out somehow. So you do 30% for the money for stability, 70% is your art and your story.
Zach James, you're an extraordinary bloke and doing amazing things in the community, and it's great that we had the chance to have a yarn with you here on the Moorish Mag program. So don't be a stranger, all right, because when the next lots of music come through, we want to be, you know, playing it here on RTR-FM, and we wish you all the very best, and I think we could go talking to you for a very long time, but congratulations on your success today. Keep doing what you're doing, and we appreciate you being part of the show. I do want to go to a song that you mentioned by Archie Roach called Weeping in the Forest, and I want to know why this is so significant to you.
Oh, just everything about it, like the idea of, you know, when we did Welcome, that's obviously like proper when you smoked in, the country smells you, like the budger smells you, the barna, as we say, smells you, and the idea of the trees and the forests and the country weeping for the children being taken away is something that hits me all the time. And not only that, the way that he actually, like, composed it as well, the way that Uncle composed the song is incredible. Just the way it moves and the lyrics with it as well combined, and the way that he delivers the song is so incredible. It's just something that it sticks with you and it gets real deep.
Let's have a listen to it. Zach James, thank you for your time on Moorish Mag, and all the best to you, and we look forward to next time we have a yarn.
Alberta, catch up.
Thanks,
catch
James.
This is Archie Roach, Weeping in the Forest.
Wow, that was Weeping in the Forest by Archie Roach, which Zach sort of inspired Zach, and I could understand why, because that's the first time I've listened to that song for the first time, and it tells the story of country, of the Bornada trees, but also culture and people. And as you mentioned, it's about missing the children when they've been removed from country and that stuff. It's very great. But, well, there you go, Jodie. You've managed to talk all the way through this show with a bit of songs and interviews and stuff there, and we've covered quite a bit. But, you know, it's great to be back here with you again. And And, you know, there's still a long way to go in terms of some of the issues that we've addressed today with the voice and that stuff there. But let's not get lost in the importance of that. But let's also encourage people out there to get out and find out. If they don't know, get out there and find out and give it a go.
Yeah. And ignorance sense. Really isn't an excuse, I don't think. And, Nick, thank you for the opportunity to come in. I walk into the RTR studios occasionally on a Thursday, and I walk in 5 foot tall, and I leave feeling 10 foot tall.
Wow.
It's a beautiful breath of fresh air, this program. And, you know, all of their subscribers to RTR FM, and, you know, the tireless volunteers taking the calls in Radiothon time. This
yes.
station is an extraordinary station to be part of, and the Mooditj Mag program is just gorgeous.
Yes, and we've got to give thanks to all those donations and subscriptions that have come in for RTR FM and also Mooditj Mag, because, you know, we like coming back here. We enjoy coming back here and having this yarn with you and that, and tell you some good stories and perhaps not so good stories, but we love coming back. So make sure that you honour your subscriptions.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, Nick Abraham. And I imagine that Jim Morrison will be back on board with you next week, and I will join you another time in the future. But what are we going to go out with today?
I'm not too sure. Let's just try and find something out there. Well, it's a sunny day out there. What about a sunny loo? Fly like a bird.
Yeah, sunny is Combumberry, Gold Coast-based First Nations artist, and the new single follows on from her upbeat single, Fly Like a Bird. So let's have a listen to this one.
Thank you.